All right, looks like we've started recording. We have a quorum, I believe, but let's go ahead and do the roll call, please.
See if you can back. We'll try roll call. Mr. Neffendorf.
I'm here.
All right, Mr. Earp.
Here.
Mr. Taggart's on vacation this week. Mr. Ramos. I think we may have lost him. Mr. Lillibridge?
Here.
Okay. And then Mr. Taylor?
Here.
Okay, great. So we do have quorum.
Even without Umberto?
Yes. So just so the board members are aware, the City of Kyle is replacing Brian Lillibridge with Tim Sanford. The city council has made that appointment. It'll have to go to our board to make a new appointment to this technical committee. So as long as Brian is still appointed until that change is made. So for the purposes of this committee, Brian is still a member and therefore counts towards quorum.
Okay. Just want to make sure we had the right number of folks. So.
Yeah, it sounds like we have Umberto back as well.
Yes, thanks.
Okay. All right. Let the record show Umberto is present. And then public comment period. Do we have any folks wishing to make public comment?
Nobody signed up.
Okay. All right. Consent agenda. Item number D1, this is approval of the minutes.
Move to approve as presented, Mike Taylor.
Neffendorf, second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. No E. Let's move on to item number F1, update and possible direction to staff regarding authorities phase 1A project. Jason Beamer.
Good afternoon, everyone. So the biggest piece of news that I have to share is that we have reached the substantial completion phase of the booster pump station, and we signed that paperwork late last week. So that starts the 45-day countdown until the final acceptance and final completion needs to be done. Right now, we're just dealing with a couple of minor cosmetic deals and a little SCADA back and forth. But I think we should probably be done with all of that, hopefully in about a week or so at the rate we're going. So I may be surprised and it may take a little longer, but generally speaking, we're on a good track there. That's about it. Now, the rain's got us kind of slowed down on the pipeline for right now, which is expected. But I'm happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
All right, I'm not hearing any questions or comments from the board. All right, thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Let's move on to item number F2. If I clicked on the right PDF, it is update and possible direction to staff regarding the authorities phase 1B program, Ryan.
Afternoon, everybody. Graham, anything you needed to start with before we get into the presentation?
No, I think we can get there. I'm in the process of getting it pulled up for you.
Very good.
Almost there. There we go.
Okay. Running through a few updates here. First of all, with regards to milestones, as always, there are a few things submitted and under review right now, as we're in the throes of final design on many of these contracts currently. Segment D, late last month, submitted their 60% submittal for the pipeline, and so that is currently under review for another week or so. And then pipeline segment A just recently submitted their 90% submittal, so that is currently under review. And then looking ahead to the latter half of this month, segment B as well as the water treatment plant raw water infrastructure contract will both be submitting their 90% submittals. With regards to design standards, a quick update there. You know, last month I briefed you on a lot of the details that have been put into final draft form and distributed again to the consultants for any final comments and review. Similarly, doing the same thing with the specifications. Our specifications that the program has been developing are centered primarily around the transmission pipelines, but the facility consultants will also utilize those as applicable and modify as needed to suit the design work on the facilities themselves, the plant and the pump station. The Division Zero specs consist of the actual contract documents, the templates that we've been working with Alliance on now for probably better part of the program, couple of years now at least. And those are in final draft form as well. You'll recall that, you know, we are going to be releasing these as competitive sealed proposals. So the really remaining steps for each of the contracts will be to evaluate further the process that'll be integrated for the submittal of the proposals for each contract, as far as what the various requirements are going to be in terms of what's submitted by each contractor as part of the proposal process, evaluating the scoring in a little more detail, and some things related to that. So over the next couple months, we'll be coming back to you with a little more detail on that as we look to get to the end of the design process and start getting some of these prepared to hit the streets. So more to come on that, but that's just a brief update on that. The image you see here is, of course, that's your five pipeline segments, but in the case of the noding, what those are identifying are the key tunneled or trenchless crossings associated with each of the pipeline segments. So you can see there Plum Creek, Lake Dunlap, I-35 in the case of segment C. And going back to earlier this summer, as the design consultants started developing their designs and getting into the final design phase and really evaluating the tunneling requirements or trenchless design requirements for each of these major crossings, at the program level, we started to have individual meetings with those consultants, particularly segments A, B, and D, as they're on the, you know, the front end of final design, and talking to them about a handful of things related to how they're evaluating the various crossings, these major crossings. Obviously, each segment has several locations where there's trenchless installations, but these comprise what we identify as the major crossings on each of the segments. You can go to the next slide, Graham. So some things that we've been actively discussing with each of the consultants. First of all, looking at, you know, getting their input on what the feasible options are going to be. And of course, for each consultant, they've got to get their geotechnical work done on either side of these crossings. And in some cases, they're also coordinating to have piezometers installed, which kind of measure the ground level fluctuation, particularly in the case of where we're crossing under major water crossings such as San Marcos River or Lake Dunlap to better understand what's going on with groundwater levels in those areas. All of those things are critical to the design of the crossing. And so some of the main things we've been coordinating with each of those consultants about so far is, number one, confirming that there are, you know, multiple options on the table at each crossing, because obviously the more options, the more feasible options that the design consultant is comfortable with, the more competitive we're going to be from a costing standpoint. So that's definitely been one of the key areas that we've focused our discussion with the consultants on so far, is just making sure that that is something we'll be able to accomplish. And if we are limited, understanding why and, you know, just trying to see what solutions there are to keep as many options on the table as possible for bidding purposes. Also related to that, We've started to compile some bid tabulation data from recent projects. You know, no tunneling project is the same, apples to apples, but for any number of reasons, what's going on the subsurface, how much groundwater is there, various different things like that, including the tunneling methods themselves. But as much recent tabulation data as we can compile at the program level and provide to the consultants, you know, so that, you know, when they're providing their submittals and their opinions of projected cost, you know, if we see a significant discrepancy versus what we think is something at least relatively similar, we want to understand why and, you know, and encourage them to reevaluate as needed as we're going through that process. And then also we've started to get some contractor input at the program level also. All of the design consultants are obviously doing that as they're developing their designs, but at the program level, for the same reasons, want to just see what we're hearing and, you know, if that helps us provide some comments back to the design consultant that hopefully reduce projected costs in some areas, want to be able to do so. Last thing I'll touch on, and I mentioned the procurement process a couple slides ago, as we are defining the procurement documents a little bit further and what the contractors will be required to submit with their proposals. You know, one key area that we intend to include will be, you know, they'll have their base proposal, but we also want to give them the opportunity to possibly provide some additional feedback on areas where they see additional potential cost savings. And in our experience, the trenchless crossings are areas that are pretty common for contractors to come back and possibly make some suggestions. Now, a lot of times what they're suggesting may come with significant risk. And so that's the reason the design consultants go through a thorough design process, because we want to make sure we're cost competitive and making things as, you know, as reduced cost as possible, but also want to make sure we don't move forward with something that's heavily risky and is, you know, going to result in a tunnel having to be abandoned and a lot of the things that may occur in those situations. And even with all of these provisions, you know, it's still possible that those things can occur. But anyway, all of that to say, you know, we want to hear from the contractors on, you know, what their thoughts are on ways that we can possibly reduce cost further. It's something that we would then evaluate and discuss with the design consultant and, of course, with Alliance before moving forward on anything. So, you know, next steps at this point, continuing that coordination with the design consultants as they continue further in final design, and we'll certainly keep you all posted on any additional feedback we have. Moving on to easement acquisition status. Of course, we did this update just a couple weeks ago at the board meeting, you know, so not a lot has probably changed since that time. On segment A, we've got parcels remaining, you know, several that have been signed, but several remaining that kind of fall into a few different buckets. One being multiple parcels where, you know, an agreement, maybe in terms of compensation is generally just about there, but maybe there's some special terms of the agreement that we're ironing out with the landowner. There's another bucket of those where, you know, they've been approved for condemnation or may be submitted for condemnation approval here soon. That will be, we anticipate, will have to go probably to commissioner's hearings. And then there's another third bucket that I'd say, you know, somewhere there's attorneys involved that may have been approved for condemnation already, but we see, based on input from Alliance's special counsel, that there's high potential for a possession and use agreement or another means to obtain a possession and move forward from there. So, segment B is similar, but obviously we've seen less success. And as I touched on last time, a lot of that is just high percentage of attorney representation on segment B versus the other segments from what we've seen, very high percentage wise. So similar story to what I just described on A, you know, with regards to overall schedule for those two parcels, certainly it's getting to a point where it's a significant concern, and we're just continuing to work with special counsel on some of those key parcels to see what options are there to work through agreements with some of these landowners and if possible, avoid hearings. Segment D continues to see progress, and you know, we're schedule wise not quite as critical at this point, but certainly what is critical is to get the offers out at this point. So we've had a lot of appraisals come in recently, and land agents are turning around those remaining offers and getting those out. And then C and E are a little bit further back in the process at this point, as expected. And so we're just kind of starting the process on both of those segments. Last thing I'll touch on is a brief progress update for construction of the well drilling out at the treatment plant property for wells 6 through 9. Here in the last month, what has been completed is the contractor needed to drill their construction supply water well. That was completed. And in addition to that, they did install the initial casings at each of the 4 wells, the conductor casings that go down just a handful of feet into the ground at each of those locations. Looking ahead this week, or possibly within the next week or two, they'll begin the mobilizing and drilling of well number 9. So they're, generally speaking, that appears to be on schedule. We're working through a couple of items with the contractor regarding access, but things are moving ahead right now. And there's just a shot of aerial shot from Jim of the supply water well being set up and drilled. With that, I'll be happy to take any questions.
This is Blake. Ryan, in regard to pipeline segment C and E, is there any concern about maybe getting the process started a little bit sooner just based off of what we've seen on the other pipeline segments?
Good question, Blake. Certainly, you know, as soon as we can get the process going on each of those. Yeah, I mean, what I can say is, you know, there's no pause in the process at this point, meaning segment C, they've completed 16 of the final field notes, and those are in for appraisal. Segment E, similarly, I think the table showed there's 7 initial offers that have been submitted, and the appraisals are in process for several others. So there's absolutely no pause in what we're doing, and trying to keep the various consultants moving on confirming the alignment, confirming the easement boundaries, and moving things forward. So, you know, if there's something on A, B, or D that's pending, you know, we're always going to try to keep the priority on those. But in the meantime, you know, we're pushing all work to move forward as much as feasible.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions or thoughts?
This is David Davenport.
Afternoon.
I was wondering if in these condemnations, if we're able to have the ability to put multiple pipelines, or in the future, if it's just taking one pipeline right and then having to go back in the future for another pipeline.
Yeah, David, the easement that is being acquired for each of these parcels will be for the ultimate infrastructure, meaning the initial pipeline, as well as the future one or two, depending on if it's one that'll be shared with GBRA.
David, so yeah, I'll address that as well.
Sure, go ahead, Graham.
Yeah, we're making sure that our petitions include the ability to do multiple pipelines. As you're probably aware, in the property code, when you go through condemnation, in order to have future right-of-way use, you've got to be able to meet certain criteria to show that you're progressing towards that project. and we feel like we are able to meet those criteria and prove the need for those future pipelines through our participation in the state water plan and some of the other efforts, so that we currently easily meet the requirements to be able to reserve that future right-of-way for those future pipelines.
Thank you for the answer.
Yeah, and Graham, Mike Gershon here. In describing the project, we've been clear, David, to describe the project to include multiple pipelines. So, I mean, through a belt and suspenders approach, we've addressed it in multiple ways.
All right, any other thoughts or questions? All right, thanks, Ryan. Looks like we're moving on to number F3, which is the update and possible direction to staff regarding the updated commissioning plan for Phase 1B. This is presented by Nathan Cobbler with Kimley Horn.
Thank you, James.
I'm trying to get that PowerPoint pulled up here.
Sure, not a problem. Well, as Graham's pulling that up, just giving everybody an update, last we covered the commissioning was back in March. That was, if I remember, that was the last time we were all able to meet in person. And we had a great discussion about toilet paper and buying stocks in those companies for the high demand. But anywho, there's a presentation, so we can definitely get started. So thank you, everybody. The commissioning feasibility study. And when we talk commissioning, we're talking about bringing the system online. And so cleaning all the pipes, the facilities, so doing that hydrostatic testing, the chlorinating, the bacteriological testing as well, and getting the system fully operational. And so with this commissioning feasibility study, what we're doing is we're trying to identify, you know, the schedule, the means, and just how all these projects interact with one another and bring them up and get the program operating as best and efficiently as we can. So the agenda items I've got listed for today is kind of a recap of where we left off, provide some refinement updates based on our kind of review of this more in detail, looking at how current schedules are shown or actually with contractors and the CMI group, as well as scheduling and the discharge locations, where are some opportunities to release water as we progress with the hydrostatic testing, followed by that chlorination part of the pipelines and facilities. And then we'll wrap it up with next steps. Next slide, please. Okay, so just as kind of where we left off, this is one slide from the previous presentation, just to remind everybody and for those who are new of what we kind of presented before. What we identified were some various phasings for the commissioning process, and we identified kind of which key infrastructure and what order allowed the infrastructure to be commissioned as efficiently time-wise as possible. And it's also based on procurement schedule, with various pipelines starting sooner than others. There's definitely a stagger in its construction process. But I chose this slide particularly because it kind of showed completion of the combined infrastructure ahead of the segment C portion up to the north. And on this slide, we kind of talked about, you know, different phasing. And we showed a nice chart that showed previous phases and future phases. But all in all, today we'll go in a little bit deeper on the commissioning portion. But this is just kind of a reminder of, one, here's a map of the full system, and two, where we're going on from now. Next slide, please. So just continuation of where we left off, you know, we talked about commissioning, and that covered the cleaning, filling, and disinfection timing of each of these segments based on the phases that were identified, as well as comparing that to the construction schedule for the system. Certain infrastructure is being built at certain times, and how does it interact, and how can we move water through the system to minimize discharge? And doing so, looking at how things are going to be constructed, we identified that the primary source of water for commissioning would be the City of San Marcos Water Treatment Plant, which is on the far west side of the program's Phase 1B project. That is a direct connect to segment B, more specifically B2, which travels from the booster pulp station to San Marcos for a true implant. So it was identified early on that that segment is probably the most critical portion of infrastructure to allow this full system to be commissioned. And movement of that water from the San Marcos area east to the booster pump station and then out and around the network of piping based on that source water is kind of how we moved forward with our analysis of the commissioning study. We also briefly touched on the various standards I have listed below that kind of just cover the disinfection portion. So next slide, please. Okay. Did the slide change? Next slide, please. Yes, I'm here. Does it say commissioning update at the top?
It does on my end. Does it on everybody else's?
Okay, well, it is frozen on my side, so I will just read off
yes.
The
it says back. Commissioning update. Go ahead.
Okay, perfect. Then I will improvise. Okay, so refinement of the previous commission analysis, and what we did was we took the hydraulic data that had been provided by the booster pump station design consultant, and which was Friesen Nichols, and took that hydraulic data, looked at the hydraulic grade lines, and compared that to the pipelines for each segment, identifying those key spots based on test pressures for the hydraulic testing, and used that for identifying how much time it would take to commission each pipeline and facility. So we really got deep into that. We also analyzed, the current construction schedules. And as these pipelines are moving forward with each phase, we took 30% and 60%, some of which have now started the 90%. Looking at how that construction schedule has been set based on the design, and we'll be continuing to analyze that should there be opportunities for construction periods to shorten, or do we need to shift the construction period a month to better line up for commissioning purposes and meet demands for the combined program's schedule. We also identified that critical infrastructure, kind of what I had mentioned before of B2 being really critical. We also identified that a portion of segment D, which is kind of like a header pipe that comes out of the booster pump station, and then segment C and B break off, and that portion's kind of under the segment D contract, but there's a leg there that is critical to connect everything up to that booster pump station, and I could show that in more detail as we progress the slides. But in continuing with this discussion, we've also coordinated with contractors and the CMI consultant, Pape Dawson, on past project experience and tried to glean some information from them on lessons learned. Is what we've kind of projected as far as the timeline realistic? What are their thoughts on some alternate options on how to commission this program? And with that, we kind of took those comments and applied that to our plan, and we're able to kind of refine currently from 6 months to about 5 months to commission the program. Some key suggestions that they provided that I wanted to point out was the well field. Once it comes online and the raw water infrastructure is there in place, we have an ability to move water from that well field into the segment A pipeline to also provide a source for commissioning. And so that's definitely going to be considered as a backup alternate option and provide some flexibility for construction as we move forward. But it's timing of that as well. The other thing was just making sure we met the program combined delivery goals, getting water to both GBRA facilities as well as the Alliance of the Neck, that combined infrastructure. And then making sure that we identify the dechlorination points at in locations. And that was something I had suggested as it controlled their discharge. And that was had better success with that than having multiple along a pipeline. And so we took that and have used that to make that refinement to our commissioning study. Okay. Next slide, please. All right. I hope we are on the commissioning update east to west.
We sure are.
Okay, perfect. For some reason, it just says where we left off and it's spinning. I don't know why it's showing that, but I am continuing moving forward. So on this slide, I've shown kind of an east to west corridor. The orange line is the segment B pipeline. The yellow line is a portion of the segment A, and going south is segment D. And this kind of shows the first few phases that we've identified, starting with B2, which is from left to right. B2 is the first orange leg. The segment D is the little blue portion that B connects to. That's critical infrastructure and the booster pump station there in the middle. We've also identified that once B2 has been commissioned, that water continued can flow into the booster pump station. That 5 million gallon storage tank has the capacity to take more than two fillings of the B2 pipeline. And so water can be, as it's hydrostatic tested, and then the slug is pushed through, that tank can contain that amount of water and then start the commissioning for the booster pump station and cycling those pumps. And then the design of the tank was to be gravity fed back into B1 and A as we continue going east. And so continually excess water can completely move through the system all the way to the Lockhart delivery point without having to discharge through this route. And so ultimately the idea is that B2, B1, part of A would be fully commissioned and water could move from the water treatment plant up to the Lockhart delivery point, and that portion would be completely done. The tail end of A that is kind of off the screen and goes to the water treatment plant can be filled for hydrostatic testing. And at this point, we recommended that one to kind of hold and not be fully commissioned, as once it's commissioned, we'd have to be moving water into the water treatment plant. But so the easy thing to do is just let it fill it with water, hydrostatic test it, hold it for a shorter period of time, a few months based on more like schedule wise until the water treatment plant is operational and can push raw water that's been gone through the system and commissioned, and then we can push that water from the water treatment plant into A at that time. Next slide, please. Okay. So commissioning, and I'm showing central to south corridor. So kind of at the same time, we've got B is under construction, is now ready to go for commissioning. D is also in construction period. So if there's a point where we've got too much flow from the water treatment plant at the San Marcos area, we can move water into segment D and slowly fill that as well. So the idea is just keep water moving through the system and allow that filling for the hydrostatic testing, trying to minimize any kind of waste at discharge points. And so remembering the order, water is still coming from B2 and through the booster pump station. We're going to be going down the blue line, which went south towards Lake Dunlap, the Canyon Regional Delivery Point. But in that point, we have the New Braunfels delivery point as well, the NBU. So once we're able to commission segment D into the E, we'll essentially have most of the system operational pending once the water treatment plant is up and running. But so the goal was just to make sure we moved water efficiently and effectively around and made sure that everybody was commissioned and then delivered appropriately. It should also be noted that along these pipelines, it's a lot of rural areas, and if it needed to be that water be discharged along the pipeline, coordination with landowners to see if any of them were interested in that water being discharged on the field, that would definitely have to be a conversation at that point. But what I've kind of analyzed was at these discharge locations were near the delivery point. So we would excess water for that first hydrostatic test, and then pushing the water through until that chlorinated slug comes would be outfalled at the Lake Dunlap property. And looking at the terrain and geography, there's an area that it could go through that's vegetated before it leaps back to the river downstream. So that's being looked at and analyzed as well. Next slide, please. Okay, so commissioning update, central to north. And this is just the tail end portion of segment C. And it's really just the last portion of the project. And this is, of course, Alliance only delivery point. So the goal was to commission the main stem and then commission of each branch. Next slide, please. So kind of comparing construction schedules against each of the projects, you can see that segment A is the first to begin its procurement process and construction there in 2021, followed by a couple of projects, the water treatment plant and raw water infrastructure project, as well as segment B and the booster pump station. And so looking at how these projects are starting and their construction schedules, you can also kind of see where each project is anticipated to end and be complete. So kind of somewhere in the middle, you've got a portion of the actual construction process. Tail end of that is the commissioning portion, and then a month or two of final cleanup. And so what we've noted was the first few months is going to be your mobilization, your submittal review, breaking ground. And then the tail end, probably 2 months, would be your final cleanup, acceptance. And so taking that information and then applying it to the next slide, please. The construction schedule with the phasing. We've kind of looked at how and when various parts of this can be commissioned. I've identified some months and years of when at this point in today, based on current design schedules, when projects could be commissioned. And I wanted to point out that the booster pump station, if you remembered earlier in the previous slide, that around October is when that project is showing to be more or less a point it could be commissioned. Well, that's definitely ahead of segment B1 and segment A portions. And so program's going to look at that and see how that schedule does it need to be adjusted any, or can we get water there at a different rate? Maybe B2 provides water, and then we just keep circulating within that plant until B1 is at a point that water can be accepted as well. But this has definitely been helpful to identify kind of how things are interacting. As mentioned earlier, a couple slides back, each of these phases can overlap as far as hydrostatic testing is concerned. You know, we want to, as soon as pipelines are ready to accept water and we have the available source, moving water around the system to allow hydrostatic testing for each of those projects that are being done. We don't know if it's all being done by one contractor, it's being done by five different contractors, a couple contractors. So that's being able to keep the contractors moving forward, allow them to have that water for their testing purposes. Should there be an issue, we can have them hydrostatic testing early, repairs can be made and not impact a schedule as much. So just keeping that in the back of our mind as we move forward with the commissioning purpose. Next slide, please. So just continuing with this commissioning schedule, I've identified that the contract document considerations, we've developed this commissioning study and analysis, divide this to be adaptable. And so we want to give that contractor flexibility in his testing and commissioning of this infrastructure. And so that would include, what's the source water? And so we've got the water treatment plant at San Marcos as the source water. But as construction moves forward with the raw water infrastructure line and the well field, that source water will also become available. And how that interacts and the timing is unknown at this time. But the contractor will have that San Marcos water to start, and seeing how the well field comes into play, we'll continue looking at that and give them that flexibility. There's also that key infrastructure we talked about of certain aspects of each pipeline that's critical. And so working with the design consultants and making sure that we've identified language on certain milestones that need to be met by certain dates to allow the commissioning to occur. And those points, kind of high level, what we've identified thus far and interaction with design consultants will continue as we move forward farther with these design plans. Again, most are in the 60 to 90% submittal range right now. I'm reviewing segment A at the moment. And so working with each of the design consultants is pretty critical as we include that within the Division 1 specifications. Lastly, the Vision 33 specs include the cleaning and acceptance testing. And so with that, we'll definitely have the contractor develop their own cleaning, hydrostatic testing, and disinfection plans of how they're going to do the process and how they're going to do the work. And we'll see how that interacts with what we kind of developed. But the plan was for our overall analysis to be adaptable and kind of have a starting point and see where these contractors, when they are come together and start this process, how it, what improvements are we going to be able to see based on this plan. This plan is as good as it is until we hit the ground running, and then, we'll see what changes need to be made. But trying to cover any issues we might see ahead of time and identifying that critical infrastructure to make sure we can allow things to move fluidly as well. Next slide, please. The commissioning discharge locations, kind of pointed out, we wanted to really focus on, and this is out of recommendation from my coordination efforts with the contractors and Pape Dawson, was minimizing those points of discharge. At those locations, you'll need a structure to dissipate the energy of the water coming out, as well as dechlorinating the water. And if we can minimize those locations, then we have greater control of where that water is leaving. With using San Marcos, we're going to have potable water through the system, so there will be some chlorine residual to be watched as we are using it for the hydrostatic testing, and then how it, what's its amount as it's being discharged. We'll have to neutralize it at some degree. But looking at those points, and each of the endpoints will have to be a discharge location, because it can't be circulated unless it's going to be treated at that site and then added to the system. But that's what we've looked at, and we're determining those locations. We've also identified, with the pipelines being filled, it's a large volume of water, and can that much water be exited at a particular delivery point? Some of these points are rather small in acreage. And so are there spots along the pipeline that a landowner, may accept water? And so that'll take some coordination as we move forward. I know we're interacting with landowners right now for easements, and some going to condemnation. And so just determining which, if possible, those might work out. But we have identified low points. The profiles of each pipeline have identified discharge and blow offs. And so those points are there, but really trying to focus on end of lines to allow that water to leave. And as far as discharging, that's really just that water that's been pushed through ahead of the chlorination process as that slug travels at a slow rate. Okay, next slide, please. So the last slide is just kind of some next steps of what we're doing as we're moving forward with this commissioning plan. And that are the contract document updates, including that language as far as the flexibility and identifying those milestones language for key infrastructure. We've also going to continue going out and coordinating with all that we can on coordination with contractors to just, lessons learned, what are their thoughts, how would you handle this situation, what have you. That's an ongoing discussion as well. And then another thing that was pointed out was, as we're doing this and we've identified a timeline, we kind of guessed a flow rate to move water through the system. So what's the source water volume requirements and looking at the flow rate and providing that to Alliance for their consideration as they're talking to San Marcos about that source water. So we're taking that, we're working on pulling that information together and applying that based on the phasing. So that way we understand how much water is going to be moved through the system to commission the full program, and as well as, the flow rate. So as quickly as we move the water through, there are requirements of how fast we can fill the pipe. It's got to be less than 1 foot per second. And so watching that, but also knowing that if we slow the flow rate too slow, it adds time on the back end. And so just doing that balancing act and pulling information together. The last item I've got listed on there is commissioning schedule alignment with the program construction schedule and program goals. And so as we continue to move forward with the design of the projects, 60% becomes 90%, 90% becomes 100%. How are the schedules being affected? Are we gaining time because of more efficiencies here? Are we bumped a week, 2 weeks, a month because of environmental concerns or condemnation? So taking the schedule, applying it appropriately, any you know, trimming and construction time, how does that affect coordination of how each leg is commissioned appropriately. So that's an ongoing thing that we're analyzing more now as we've, you know, consultants move from 30 to 60. Now we're moving to that 90% design phase. Okay, next slide. Okay. And with that, if there are any questions I might be able to ask or answer for you.
This is a question. Is this Mr. Ramos?
Yes, sir.
I guess I got a question. Maybe Graham can answer this. With regard to discharge, is there any, within this agreement, a discussion with San Marcos, is there some a discussion as to coordination of public relations, you know, with the notifications of the public and letting everybody know that this is a water supply that's not held by drought and, you know, the likes of, and it's not impacting, it's really a future project. I guess, what are your thoughts, Graham, as far as public outreach when this actually occurs and we have all these large volumes of water being dumped?
Yeah, I think, two items. Certainly, I think we've all seen recently with the Vista Ridge project that there's been a lot of concern with the volumes of water that are being pushed through and discharged as part of that project. One of the reasons that this plan is so, I think, comprehensive at this stage is that we're trying to minimize those types of discharges to the greatest extent possible. But to your question, I think we will need an active PR campaign to explain on the few times that we do need to discharge the water, why it's required to do so that we can meet the health and safety standards and that we're trying to limit that to the extent possible so that we, you know, we are trying to be good stewards of the environment to the extent possible. It's just a matter of for flushing these lines and for testing, and there is going to be some discharging that's required. And so I think it will be incumbent on us to coordinate our own message, but also through each of the sponsors too, for any requests or any questions that they get, so that it's understood by the public why we're doing that.
Okay, that makes sense. But also, I think we need to touch on the fact that it's another supply of water coming to the region, and it's, you know, what's my keyboard here, is that you basically bring in diversifying your resources, et cetera,
more sustainable.
Make it more appealing. Yeah, sustainable and not to draw on the Edwards, but we're bringing another supply to the region. And so I would think we gear it towards that. But, all righty, thanks.
All right, any other comments or questions? Nathan, thank you for the detailed presentation and catching us up on where you guys are at.
Yes, sir.
Let's move on to item number F4, which is dealing with TxDOT and SH304.
Just a quick update on this. As we've been moving forward with the water treatment plant project, we reached out because the Wolf Run Road, which is where our trucks and crew will enter and leave the water treatment plant, there's some improvements that are being done on that road. We reached out to TxDOT as they are the owners of State Highway 304 that intersects Wolf Run Road, to see what improvements they're going to require. They have requested that we do a right turn lane. They call it a right turn / D-cell lane on the northbound side of that as we turn into Wolf Run Road. And our engineers, Walker Partners, have looked at that preliminarily, and they had estimated a cost for us to do that project and through construction costs at about $200,000. TxDOT just so happens to be working on a shoulder widening project on SH304 as well. And so they've offered to enter into an agreement where we would pay for our proportional share of the improvements on 304. And then they would be in control of design and construction of that work. Right now, they believe their schedule is about the same as ours, that they intend to have the work completed in mid to late 2023, but of course that schedule can change. I guess one of the benefits they have for their 304 project, as I understand it, is that they are not having to acquire an additional right-of-way through the area. They have enough right-of-way now, so they're just widening out those shoulders within the existing right-of-way, so they control their schedule a little bit better than some of the other TxDOT projects. But the real benefit is that they've estimated costs and through the design, construction, and administrative fees, they've estimated their cost at about, or our portion of the cost at about $25,000 as opposed to the $200,000 that are estimated by Walker Partners. I think this not only saves us, you know, a significant amount of money if we enter into this agreement with TxDOT, but it also requires all of the TxDOT standards and everything to be dealt with. Our contractor does not have to deal with that anymore. That leaves that all in TxDOT's hands. And just will make their project a more cohesive project and probably a better project. And so to me, it seems like a win-win. I wanted to bring it to the attention of the committee and see if anybody had any concerns. The process from here, if we choose to move forward, would be requesting TxDOT to prepare their form agreement. Of course, we would review that documentation and information and then bring it back to the board for approval. It would likely, I don't think it would be in September, probably October at the earliest, maybe a future meeting even after that. It would take them a little while to put that together. But again, it saves us a significant amount of money and gets us out of really having to deal that much with TxDOT on the roadway itself. We'll still deal with them on the crossing and permitting of our crossing underneath the road, but we'd have to do that regardless. So with that, I just wanted to take the temperature, see if anybody had any concerns with approaching that. If not, we'll move forward working with TxDOT and asking them to prepare a draft agreement for our review and then ultimate board consideration.
Well, Graham, I'm not hearing anybody. Let's go on the negative. Does anybody object to this proposal? All right, well, there you have it, Graham.
All right, good deal.
Item number F5, this is an update on the 2020 SWIFT funding.
Just wanted to reiterate where we're at in this process. We'll be coming back to each of you in October for approvals. We did get our last projected rates. We're sent around the first part of September. The rates continue to look good. We're actually hopeful that we may have been able to beat the rates that they are projecting at this point, which on the 30-year note is just over 2%, and on the 20-year note, it's just over 1.3%. We won't, as I mentioned before, we won't know those final numbers until the Water Development Board issues the debt in New York at the first couple of days in October. I've sent the latest debt service schedule that we've got tied to those projected September 1st rates. By the end of this week, we will have out to you, to each of the sponsors, the draft resolutions and agreements that need to be considered by your board and councils, and ask for any review and feedback on those so we can put those together and finalize that. And then we start our tour on October 12th at the Canyon Regional Board meeting and ask for approval of the bond resolutions and move forward. As always, we've got to get approval of all four sponsors, and then under Kenyon Regional, get approval of the three SUDs that are participating. And lastly, a slight change in dates. The Water Development Board asked us to move back our closing from November 18th to November 20th, as their schedule was getting kind of full on the 18th. So that buys them a couple more days. So that's it. More, again, just an update. We'll have more of those documents out here by the end of this week for review. And certainly if you have any questions about those or in the meantime about anything, please don't hesitate to let me know.
All right. Thank you, Graham. Item number F6 is the update on all of our stuff.
Just a couple items here. The Gonzales District held their meeting last night. They approved their budgets for the next year. The good news for us is permitting fees, that those are actually a little bit lower than we projected. So I think We had budgeted just over $90,000 in permitting fees to the Gonzales District, and it looks like we're going to pay just under $75,000. So that's good news. Otherwise, I don't believe they had any action that affected us. The last thing I'll mention on this item is Region L held their meeting September 3rd last week, and they approved the 2021 Region L plan. So that's always a big step every 5 years to get that approved and moving forward. Now the state will take and review it and will incorporate it into the overall 2022 state water plan. And then the Region L water plan will start all over again on its 5-year cycle, really towards the end of 2020 here, and selecting a consultant and moving forward. The other thing I'll note here is it looks like we're going to have, in all likelihood, a new chair of the Region L group, as the former head of San Antonio River Authority is moving on. And she's been the lead of the Region L group now for the last 5 years or so. And so we'll have a little bit of a change in leadership there as heading that group as we're moving forward. But really, this cycle, everything was much calmer than we've had, I think it's safe to say, the last two or three cycles. And I think it resulted in a pretty good plan that is really unanimously supported and is not as divisive as it was the last couple of times. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions on this. That's all the updates I have on these items.
All right. Thanks, Graham. Executive Director report.
Couple items. Once again, we'll be meeting virtually on September 23rd. As I noted at the very beginning, we will have an item on the agenda to make appointments to the technical committee. Since Brian Lillibridge will no longer be an appointment to the board, we'll make that available for appointment. So if you want to make any changes or adjustments, that'll be an opportunity. Let's see, on that meeting as well, we'll have approval of agreements with R.W. Hardin Associates, Lloyd Gosselink, and Texas Solutions Group. The administrative committee met a week ago and discussed those and is recommending renewal of the agreements with each of those overall. And you'll see this at the board meeting. The reviews were very strong for each of those groups. They have recommended that after the next legislative session, we go out for an RFQ for governmental affairs. Again, it will have been 11 years, I believe, at that point in time, 9 years at that point in time since we've done that. And so it felt like it was justified to go back out and see what else is out there. And at the same time, could still encourage Texas Solutions Group to reapply. With that, I've got all the other usual invoice items here in the packet and the backup information. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, open the floor for questions. All right. Hearing none, that takes us to future agenda items from the committee. Anybody have anything they'd like to bring up for discussion to be placed on upcoming agenda? Is everybody still awake?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah.
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 Making sure it's not just Graham and me talking to ourselves. I'm going to make y'all quit using your cell phone so we can see all your faces. Do we need to do executive session, Graham?
No, sir.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the agenda, so we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, everybody.